Well, good morning, everyone. And I know that this past week you just had your winter break. So I hope you feel rested right now. And I also know that RPI students, after this coming week, right, you have your own spring break coming up. So I hope that you would also find a time of rest. But, you know, coming back from break or going into break, like sometimes we know that we return back to a point in a time in our lives where everything seems very stressful. Everything seems very chaotic. And, you know, it almost feels like we are stuck in some sort of storm. Now, for me, I had my own share of storms. And no, I'm not talking about spiritual storms. Yeah, I'm physically talking about literally being in storms. So you have already heard that me talking about my trip to the Grand Canyon last summer, how first time sleeping outdoors on a cot, you know, it's a beautiful night sky, everything seems peaceful. I go to sleep, then wake up in the middle of that night in the Grand Canyon, and suddenly, big thunderstorm, pouring rains everywhere. And I'm like, why am I here? Apparently I had a tarp, so I was able to put that tarp over me and cover me from the rain, but the tarp that I was given has holes in it. So I had like water seeping into me. So I had to assume the fetal position and be like rocking myself. It's so cold, why am I out here? God, why do you have to let me be in this storm? It feels very uncomfortable. You know, very often in our times, we may not literally be in a storm like that, but it can often feel like it. Let's talk about snowstorms. I know we had a few ones recently. For the first big one back in January, I was sort of lazy. I didn't go out and shovel my driveway. I waited till like everything was done. We got like at least like 8-9 inches that time. And I thought, oh, I can be able to use my snowblower. Snowblower is broken. So I ended up having to try to shovel the whole driveway by hand. And it's, you know, with, you know, that much snow and also with rain making it wet, so it's like pretty much like slush. So I was like, okay, then during the next snowstorm, I'll try to avoid that. Second snowstorm comes, and I decide, okay, I'll go out once every 2 hours to shovel. That way I don't have to wait till the end and try to like shovel the whole thing in one go. Also, that wasn't really a good idea because I am literally standing out in the middle of the snowstorm every 2 hours trying to shovel everything. It got snow on my face, got wind in my face, everything is cold, and I was coughing afterwards too. It didn't feel very comfortable. So I don't know if you've experienced being in the midst of like the elements and all the storms, but I know that many of us have been in our own spiritual storms in our life. And I think even at this time, we all need to be reminded that in the midst of these storms, we need to trust in Jesus. Yes, I know you hear that a lot. We know we should trust in Jesus, but when it actually comes to doing it, it can be hard. You know, you may be going through a time of trial and suffering and hardship. You may be stressed with all the work that you have to do in your studies. You may be stressed with trying to keep up with good grades. You may be stressed and worried about trying to please your parents or trying to get the bills paid or wondering how you're going to go through this particular situation. You may be stressed about your relationship with this other person. And you don't really know if there's anyone that can really understand and can be able to help you through your situation, through your storm. It feels like you're stuck in a real storm where there is heavy rains continuously pelting you, winds that are scratching against your face, pushing you around, making you lose your balance. But I'm here to tell us that we can trust Jesus in the midst of all of these storms in your lives. So how should we approach these storms? How should we understand them? And how can we trust Jesus in these storms? So we'll see from today's passage. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be reading from verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. This account, you actually find it in all four of the Gospels. But Mark's account has the most details in it because Mark derived his eyewitness account from Peter. And this is the story of Jesus calming the storm. So I hope you're here with me. Mark chapter 4, start reading with me from verse 35. On that day, when the evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowds, they took with them in the boat, and just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, just like every Sunday, as we approach your word, we come before you and ask for you to teach us. Lord, maybe many of us right now are going through a certain trial, a certain storm, certain hardship, and it just seems like we can't be able to overcome it. But Father, help us to understand why we can trust in you, why we have reason to trust in you, and how it isn't just a blind type of faith. Lord, help us to be able to see you for who you are and also understand more about who we are in your presence. Lord, comfort us, show us the way, and teach us from your word. Father, we want to lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So from this passage that we read today, we're going to be answering one main question. So again, if you'd like to take notes, you can write this question down. How can we trust Jesus during our storms? How can we trust Jesus during our storms? And from this passage, we'll see that there are three ways that we can be able to trust Jesus within our storms. So as we approach this question, let's start by going back to our passage. Let's read with me back from verse 35 again. Again, on this day, when the evening had come, Jesus had said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. You see, in this situation, Jesus had just spent the whole day teaching the crowds, you know, different parables. And like these crowds, they're consistently trying to follow him and get him to not only hear his word, but also just to heal them, cast out demons, because you know, after all, they saw benefits for following Jesus, even though some of them may or may not have realized that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. So the whole day, Jesus had the crowds following him in Capernaum. And then Jesus was like, okay, at the end of the day, I want to escape from the crowds. I want to withdraw. Let us go across the sea. Let's across the Sea of Galilee to the east side of it. You know, there were less crowds that are there so that we can be able to rest. So Jesus was one to tell his disciples, let us cross to the other side. But you know, as Jesus was telling this to his disciples, what did he know? Jesus knew that there was going to be a big storm coming. He knew that there was going to be a big storm at the sea. He knew that he was leading them into the storm. So let's answer our question. How can we trust Jesus during our storms? Here's the first way. Point one, trust Jesus as he leads us into our storms. Trust Jesus as he leads us into our storms. I want you to think about your storms right now, your trials, suffering, whatever you may be experiencing, could be right now. In Jesus' plan and sovereignty, he is the one who is leading you into these hard situations. He knows what he is getting you into, even though we may not necessarily know. But Jesus doesn't lead us into these storms necessarily because we have done anything wrong or that we did something that to deserve to be in this time of suffering or in this time of pain. No, that's not the case. So why does Jesus lead us into our storms? What is the purpose? What is the reason? Think about this. Jesus leads us into our storms But our storms lead us to Jesus. Jesus leads us into our storms, but actually our storms lead us to Jesus. So in our current trials, in our current times of suffering, in our current times of hardship, we can be led to know more about Jesus and grow closer to him. I think this is one of the reasons, one of the purposes for why Jesus leads us into our storms. And in that, we need to trust him as this is being done. So what is being accomplished with Jesus' disciples here on the boat? Jump to the last verse in verse 41. As a result, after witnessing Jesus calm the storm, verse 41, and they, the disciples, were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? After witnessing Jesus calm down the sea and save them from their situation, they were in fear. Not in fear of the storm anymore, but now they were fearful because they realized they were probably in the presence of God. They were like, who is this man who can be able to rebuke and calm the sea? No, they had spent a lot of time with Jesus already, following him, hearing him teach, seeing him perform all these different miracles, like healing people and casting out demons. But after spending that much time with him, they still didn't realize that he was the Messiah, that he is God. So now, after going through their storm, they're at this point where, yes, they were afraid, but they were questioning Jesus' identity. They were wondering if he is God. And they wouldn't have been in this situation if they haven't gone through that storm, if Jesus didn't lead them into that storm. So do we trust Jesus in the midst of our storms? So again, how can we trust Jesus during our storms? Point one, the first way, trust Jesus as he leads us into our storms. Jesus leads us into our storms, and our storms leads us to Jesus. So as you think about your current storms and current trials, think about how your current situation can actually lead you closer to Jesus or lead you to know more about Jesus. Focus on this rather than the situation in itself. You know, if we knew that it is really God, really Jesus who is leading us into the storm, then we can trust that he can be able to lead us out of it and lead us towards him. Now, there once was a young woman named Anne Steele. And she had encountered one trial and disappointment after another. And her mother had died when she was just 3 years old. And when she was 19, she suffered a severe hip injury that left her basically invalid for the rest of her life. You know, she couldn't really walk that well. And even eventually, she fell in love and was engaged to be married to someone. But the day right before her wedding, her fiancé drowned. So I can imagine a whole life of storms and trials like this, one after the another. But later on, Anne Steele became the person who wrote a particular hymn, a particular song. And listen to what she writes here. She writes in this song, Father, whatever of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free. The blessing of thy grace impart, and make me live to thee. How can someone write a song like this to God? You know, describing of God's grace, describing of using them to bring her to him, and being thankful after all that she has experienced in this life, all this suffering, all these storms. See, only someone who trusted in Jesus during the storms and who was brought closer to him can be able to write something like this. So in the midst of your storms, if you were to write a song, if you were to live out your life that would reflect something in, not necessarily in words, but even in action, would it be reflected similar in the way that we see Anne writes in this song, where she went through her storms, she went through her trials, but was brought closer to him? again, how can we trust Jesus during our storms? Point one, trust Jesus as he leads us into our storms. And yes, even though I know that it's true that Jesus is the one leading us into the storms and we should trust in him, but this doesn't mean that it's not going to be painful. This doesn't mean that it won't be hard. You know, I know that it can be a very hard situation. So let's see how hard this situation was, in particularly for the disciples as they were going through a literal storm. Would you read with me, starting from verse 37? So while Jesus and his disciples were out on the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. So Jesus and his disciples are on the boat, and imagine this windstorm that began to come. Imagine the icy cold winds pushing against their faces. Imagine winds that are so loud that, you know, they were deafened because they can't hear anything from the loud winds. You know, it's hard for them because they were trying to shout at each other like instructions on what to do to try to control the boat to keep it from being capsized. You know, because of the winds, you also had these giant waves. Okay, and these waves of water were coming onto the boat and filling it up. And if they got too heavy, they were going to drown. You know, they were going to sink. So they were trying to think of ways to try to get the water out of the boats. Maybe take buckets and pour out buckets of water. Maybe they had some cargo on board, and to lighten the load, they had to throw some of that cargo overboard, and they had to tell one another, hey, try to fix the sails so that we can point in the right direction and not be tipped over. Now, this was a very hectic and a hard situation. It was very scary for them, you know? It was essentially very life-threatening. But in this life-threatening situation, what was Jesus doing? You're right, sleeping. Read verse 38. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? So in this life-threatening situation, Jesus was sleeping in the stern. The stern, meaning like the back of the boat, away from all the commotion that was happening. And not only that, Jesus had his own little cushion there. So you can tell that Jesus was very comfortable as well. So imagine if you were one of Jesus' 12 disciples and you were scrambling around trying to make sure that your boat doesn't become capsized. And here Jesus is just fast asleep and not doing anything to help. You know, how would you feel about that? You feel hurt. You feel like Jesus doesn't care. And the disciples, they had to wake up Jesus saying, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I think sometimes in our life, as we go through our storms, trials, and hardships, we wonder whether God cares about us. We wonder whether Jesus actually sees what's happening, whether he actually cares about what's happening, and whether he will actually do anything about your situation to be able to help you through it. You know, I think all of us can admit that. We often can feel that Jesus doesn't care about us. Now, when I was in a seminary, I was taking a preaching class, and another student and I, we had to do an assignment where actually we had to take this particular passage, and in this preaching class, we had to come up with like one sermon point and to develop it. So that was like our assignment. And as a joke, this other student and I, we came up with this sermon point. It's not meant to be serious, but imagine hearing a sermon that basically said this: Jesus doesn't care if you die. No, I think like some of you may be shocked to hear something like that, but yes, it's supposed to be a joke. It's a bad sermon point because it is not true. But at the same time, it really does reflect how some of us may feel and what we may say when we're in the midst of our storms. Because it just feel like Jesus doesn't care about us. Now for me, I am a very heavy sleeper. So a lot of times at night when Olive, my baby, wakes up and cries and wants to be fed, I'm still sleeping. And Joyce looks at me like, do you even care about your child? So if it's my turn to feed her, she will have to hit me and wake me up. So sometimes when people are sleeping, sometimes you wonder whether they even care about you. Or think about if, let's say that every Sunday you rely on someone to drive you to church. And then during the time when you're supposed to be picked up, you are sleeping. And your driver is like, huh, I wonder whether they actually care about me. Or maybe you are supposed to be the driver, and let's say that you are the one who's sleeping. And You know, the people who that you're supposed to drive, they may wonder whether the driver cares about them. I'm sorry, I'm looking at you guys because I know that you have experienced that a lot. So at the same time, we can often interpret the same thing in our storms. When we're going through a lot of trials and hardships and in our storms, and it seems like Jesus is sleeping. It seems like Jesus isn't doing anything. He doesn't really care about us. But what if I were to tell you that here in this passage, the act of Jesus sleeping actually shows that Jesus cares about us? Now, what if I were to say that the act of Jesus sleeping shows that he cares about us? So let's answer our question again. How can we trust Jesus during our storms? Here is the second way, the second point. Trust Jesus in his understanding and compassion for us. Number two, trust Jesus in his understanding and compassion for us. You see, when Jesus is sleeping in the storm on the boat, it really shows Jesus' humanity. Yes, Jesus is 100% God and he's 100% man. And we focus on a lot on Jesus being God and his deity, but I think a lot of times we don't really emphasize too much on Jesus' humanity. Because Jesus has a physical human body, he can get tired. You know, as he was sleeping through a storm, and it shows that he really had a lot of physical exhaustion. Remember, like we had said that, you know, one of the reasons why he may be so exhausted is because he had spent the whole day teaching the crowds who were continuously following him in Capernaum, and he wanted to get away from the crowds. He wanted to withdraw and to rest. I think a lot of times we have experienced times where we have gone through a whole day after going through so many different events, talking to so many people, and we're just physically tired. And do you know what? Jesus understands and knows what that feels like because he himself, with a physical human body, has experienced that. And because he understands that, he knows that, it also shows that he cares and has compassion for us when we go through that situation. Jesus understands us in our trials and in our hardships and in our suffering. And he doesn't just understand knowledge-wise. He doesn't say, like, oh, I know you're going through this hard situation. No, it's not just knowledge-wise, but he also understands experience-wise because he has a human body. With a human body, Jesus knows what it's like to be tired. Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed by someone that he loves. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted with sin, but even though Jesus never sinned at all. See, because of all these experiences as a human being, Jesus can be able to identify with us in the situations as we go through our storms, anything that we may experience in this life, because he has also physically experienced them as well. I want you to consider Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. It says this, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. So this part, for we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus sympathizes with us. He identifies with us. He understands us, and he cares for us, especially during our storms. So again, how can we trust Jesus during our storms? Number two, trust Jesus in his understanding and compassion for us. So let's talk about application. During the storms of your life, when it seems like Jesus is sleeping and not caring at all, remind yourself that Jesus does care. Remind yourself that Jesus does understand. Remember that Jesus is the one who leads you into your storms, but your storms should lead you to Jesus. Is that purpose still being accomplished? So just as Jesus sleeping through the storm, it shows us his humanity, but it shows us more than that as well. It shows us that he understands and he cares. But at the same time, Jesus sleeping also shows that he knows what is going to happen because Jesus is in control of everything. So if Jesus is sleeping during the storm and while his disciples are scrambling around, he can be able to do so because he knows what is going to happen. He is in control. So that brings us to our third point. So again, our question, how can we trust Jesus during our storms? The third point, the third way, trust Jesus in his control over all things. Trust Jesus in his control over all things. Let's read from verse 38. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he woke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. So what did Jesus do when he was woken up by his disciples? He got up, stood up in the boat, and then he rebuked the winds and he rebuked the sea. He said, "Peace, be still." And just like that, immediately, the winds just stopped. And the waves calmed down, so it was completely peaceful. It's something that was like immediate, just like that. So imagine what happened. So everything was dark. There was a lightning. There was a thunder. There were strong winds blowing. It's hard to hear anything. And then you also hear giant waves crashing. And Jesus just says, "Peace, be still." And just like that, everything just, it's like someone just turned on a switch and everything was very peaceful and quiet. And, you know, in that moment of quietness, you can imagine, like I guess at some point there's like some sort of awkwardness, but also it's also a sense of awe at what had happened. You know, you might even hear like birds chirping in the background at how like peaceful it is. It's almost like if, let's say, someone were to do a giant cannonball into a swimming pool, and you see how there's like giant waves that you see in the pool. But what if like those giant waves all of a sudden, like immediately, just at the snap of someone's finger, just became clear or became calm, as if like no one had jumped in there? No, that's how immediate that change was. That's how like great that Jesus' power was working. So this shows that Jesus has authority over all creation. This shows that Jesus is in control of everything. So again, how can we trust Jesus during our storms? Point three, trust Jesus in his control over all things. So because Jesus has control over all things, it shows that Jesus even has control over the storms in your life. He has control over your trials, over your hardships. He's the one who led you into them, and he has the control to be able to get you out of them, to be able to save you from them. He has the control and power to be able to protect you while you're going through them. He has control to lead you to him. Now, there once was a bear cub, and he was playing in the jungle, and all of a sudden, a lion had spotted the bear. And this bear cub froze in fear, and as he saw like the lion approaching slowly and slowly towards him. And just as the lion came within 15 feet of the bear cub, the lion suddenly stopped and froze. He got afraid, and then the lion just ran away. And this bear cub, you know, he was very proud that he can be able to scare away the lion. You know, and he was thinking, "Oh, I'm so powerful." But then when the bear cub turned behind him, he saw the mama bear right behind him. So the lion was not afraid of the bear cub, but it was actually afraid of who was backing him up. So Jesus is right there, always to back us up. Jesus is the one in control of our situations in our storms, not us. So in the midst of your storms, would you look back and do you see Jesus in control of everything, working everything behind you, and trusting that he will be able to help you through it? No, I think a lot of times, you know, when we go through our storms, we may think, "Oh, I think I can be able to handle this myself. I can be able to be in control. I can be able to get myself out of this situation." You know, I think a lot of times we can feel that way as well too. But, you know, just sort of like the bear cub who thought that he was in control can be able to scare away the lion. But actually, it was the mama bear who did it. So let's go back to the situation here with Jesus and his disciples. What if the disciples thought that they can be able to save themselves in their storms and save their boat from being capsized? You know, a lot of them thinking they have the credentials to do so. A lot of the disciples, they used to be fishermen before they stopped and went to follow Jesus. They may think, oh, we've experienced this before. Oh, we can be able to control the sails. We can be able to dump the water out of the boat and be able to get us safely to the other side. You know, I think a lot of times if they think that they are in control and they can get themselves out of the situation and they are prideful, then they won't turn to trust Jesus. They would never have woken up Jesus and asked him, do you care that we are perishing right now? They would have never have done that. So I think a lot of times in our lives, we think that we can be in control of our lives, and we think that we can be the one who can get us out of that situation. But you know, that would be really impossible. Because what you need is someone who is truly in control of everything, someone who has authority over all creation, who can be able to say, peace, be still, and command the waters and the winds to stop completely and to be calm. We need a savior like that in our lives to be able to calm the storms in our lives. We can't be the one who think we're in control and with all the pride, who think that we can be able to get out of that situation. Only Jesus can be in control. So again, how can we trust Jesus during our storms? Point three, trust Jesus in his control over all things. So in your storms, are you in control, or do you let Jesus be in control? Do you surrender your will to God and trust that Jesus can be able to bring you out of that situation? Again, I said, Jesus is the one who leads us into our storms, but our storms should lead us to Jesus. Is that purpose being accomplished? So let us review everything that we've learned here from this passage, here in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Again, we answered the question, how can we trust Jesus during our storms? And we said that there were three ways. Three ways to trust Jesus during our storms. So let's review. Point number one, trust Jesus as he leads us into our storms. Point number two, trust Jesus in his understanding and compassion for us. And finally, point number three, as we just said, trust Jesus in his control over all things. You see, no matter the storms, no matter the trials, the suffering, the hardships that we may face in this life, whether we're experiencing now, or whether we may experience those storms sometime in the future, we know that they will come, we can trust in Jesus. Notice how all the main points of this sermon is meant to be able to point us back to Jesus. No pun intended, main points pointing us back to Jesus. Jesus is the one who leads us into the storm, but our storm should be the one that should be leading us back to Jesus. If we keep this in mind, then Satan cannot be able to use our storms to actually pull us away from him. Rather, our storms can lead us to him. Let's revisit again how the disciples were affected after the storm. Read with me from verse 40. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" In our storms, will we hear Jesus ask us why we are afraid? Or ask us why we have little faith? You know, if that's the case, I hope not. I hope that we can be able to answer in a way where we can say, we do trust in you, we do have faith in you, and we won't be fearful in our storms. Verse 41, and the disciples were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The disciples were now fearful, but they're not fearful of the storm, but now they're fearful of who God is. Of who Jesus is, realizing and recognizing that he is the Messiah, that he is God. So likewise, will we be like the disciples who have ended up in a position after their storms where they can actually come to know and grow in Jesus? And it's my prayer, it's my hope that we will come to this position. This is a position of humility. This is a position that I think we should always end up in as we go through the storms in our lives. We can be able to trust Jesus during our storms. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing us with comfort. Maybe this message comes at the right time for many of us as we are going through some storms, some hard situations, going through some life transitions, going through some situations where we don't know whether we can be able to get out of it. Maybe where we feel stuck, maybe we feel like no one can be able to understand. But Lord, you reminded us that you do understand, you do care, you do know about our situations, and we can be able to trust you through the storms. Father, I ask that you will continue to show us your love, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, be the Savior over our lives. Be the one in control who can be able to calm the storms of our lives. Lord, help us to release control to you and help us not to think that we can be able to get us out of our own situations. Lord, help us to surrender to you and be at peace with you. Lord, we can be able to trust you no matter what happens, no matter what storms come. Protect us from Satan's attacks. We know that you are our Lord and our Savior. Father, we lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.